Ron Van Dam, living proof that there is life after 40 for retired male strippers. Shake that thing, big dog, you still got it. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I am indeed a retired male stripper, and I'm still recovering from that horrible crotch injury. Ooh, ouch. Hey, welcome to the program. It is indeed the Ron Van Dam Show. Don't argue with me. I'm not in the mood. How are you? Good to be with you. We're going to have a lot of fun today. At least I will. You, maybe not so much. But hey, that's the way it falls. Here we go. I do thank you for being here. There's a little gift that I have for you. Tonight, when you go to bed, there'll be a little chocolate under your pillow. At least, you're going to think it's chocolate. Hey, stop it. That's enough. God. How long is the opening going to be? Let's not get this going too crazy. All right, let's start off by talking about what everybody's talking about. As you probably know, on Thursday, the Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth II, passed away at the age of 96. The entire country, England and the United Kingdom and Canada and other parts of the world that are ruled by the monarch, they are in great mourning. And I totally understand that she was a great woman and a great person. What she actually did, I'm not too sure, but she greeted people is what she did. But nonetheless, been through everything with the people, and quite an amazing woman. Flags are at half staff, half mast, whatever you call it, all over the world. And it's going to be a period of a couple of weeks. I believe that it's 10 days before she's actually. The funeral is like 10 days away still. I don't know what the wait is there. I guess she has to lie in state or something. And then there's a period of mourning for almost an entire 6 days to a week after that. So this is going to go on for a while. If you turn on the television, every news station, it's 24/7 Queen Elizabeth. Her son, King Charles, is now the king. And there you have it. Okay, and we move on from that, by the way. I don't have a panel of experts discussing what everybody else is discussing, so I cannot participate in that, but there you have it. Many people still don't know that she has passed, in which case you need to get your head out of the sand. That news story is all over the place. That being said, and I did say it, and I'm sure we'll be discussing that in various forms for whatever reason. Ladies and gentlemen, I do have a question that is certainly in comparison, absolutely no consequence to anybody except myself. So, ladies and gentlemen, I got to ask you this question.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today?
Thank you very much. Before I go into this particular stupid part of the show. I do want to mention that there are people all over the world who followed the Queen and the monarchy for, I mean, they just like, God, when a member of the royal family gets married, it's like, wow. I mean, they break out the popcorn. They dress like them. I mean, it becomes a little Comic-Con-y. It's amazing. Just the concept of a monarchy still existing in today's society, where the monarchy itself in England has very little to do with anything, but still, I don't know. Monarchy kind of, it's, you know, the way it's a blood family thing, and they rule from a throne, and you have to bend down and kiss rings. I mean, ooh, makes me a little squeamish, but at the same time, it's an institution that's just gone on. It's the longest institution of ruling that there is, actually. So, fine. All right. Here's the thing. Ladies, this is, I don't know if it's only me or if it's most men. I really haven't taken a poll because it's doesn't matter. Ladies, why in the world, and I don't care what kind of hair you may have, frizzy, straight, long, whatever, why in the world would you consider putting it up on the top of your head in a bun? What are you doing? It confounds me. Did at one point a female walk into a pastry shop and saw a bun sitting in a tray in the case and said to themselves, that bun, I want my hair to look like that. What could be more attractive than piling your hair on the top of your head? I want to display my hair in piles. And then it went a step further with the Star Wars thing. Yeah, the Carrie Fisher role there. She had not only a bun, but she had a bun on each side of her. She had two buns. It looked like thick antennas coming out of her head. Princess Lola, I don't know what the fuck. What kind of fashion is that? I don't understand. Do you think that men find you attractive with head piled on the top of your head? A lot of women who I have interviewed about this, believe it or not, have responded by saying, "Well, it gets the hair out of my face, and it's nice not to have it like hanging over my head." And I said, okay, I get that. You could put it in a ponytail or something like, but to pile it on the top of your head and like wait for a vat of frosting to come around so you can look like a walking coffee cake, it just doesn't make any sense to me. It's one of the most unattractive things that a woman can do. And there's not a lot of things that a woman can do to be unattractive. Because they are attractive by nature. To make yourself unattractive is going a mile. It's going a mile to do that. Do you put your hair on top of your head so no one will come near you? Is that why you're doing this? Well, I don't think so. I think most women think that they look really, really good with hair piled on top of their heads. And I bring this, there is a connection to what I opened the show with. I bring this back to royalty, because that's considered to be a very proper, a very dignified look, is to have hair piled on top of your head. I think in the royalty game, not to have it piled on the top of your head is wrong. I don't know how you fit a crown up there with all that hair, but somehow they manage. Women actually think that they look more sophisticated with hair piled on top of their head, and then pinned to itself. I don't. You look like a walking sculpture. Wow. I don't get it. And here's the odd part of the whole thing, and there are many odd parts to this for me. When a woman gets married, she puts her hair up. No, don't do that. No, you don't look as good as you think you do with your hair piled up. Now, having your bridesmaids wear their hair piled up on top of their hair in a bun, that makes sense because you don't want your bridesmaids to look prettier than you are. I get that. I get it. It's your day. I know it. It's your, you're getting married. It's your day. Is it the groom's day? Not so much. Is it the bride's day? You bet your freaking ass it is. So no one is to look better than the bride. That is the law. So having your bridesmaids pile their hair on top of their head, I totally understand. No one's going to come near them. And then you dress your bridesmaids all in the same dress. Women go out of their way to look different from the other woman. If another woman is wearing the same dress that she is, someone has to change immediately. But at a wedding, where everybody else has to look, not as good as you, you dress your bridesmaids in the same freaking ugly dress. Now, you don't want to go too ugly. You just kind of dress them in your favorite color, whatever that may be. But you make damn sure that hair is piled on top of the head. It's just bizarre. A wedding is a royal event. You're mirroring a royal event. The way that you walk down the aisle to grandeur music, and you're escorted down the aisle, and everybody stands up when you go down the aisle in the church, wherever you're getting married. That's a royal wedding kind of thing. So we do mirror that. We do take certain aspects of royalty, and we plant it into our traditions here. But to have all the bridesmaids dress the same, holy crap, what the hell are you doing? Now, for the ushers and the groom, they're all dressed the same anyway, because there's not a lot of stuff for those guys to wear. There's a tuxedo or a shirt and tie in a very nice suit. That's about it. That's about all you got going. You're all going to look exactly the same, even if you dress differently. Also at a wedding, and I'm getting off the hair thing for just a second, I find weddings so incredibly, interestingly fascinating, because they make so much no sense. They really don't. They make no sense whatsoever. Brides just, I don't understand what's going on with that thing. They actually buy their wedding dress. They purchase it usually. Unless you don't have much money, you know, then you do the consignment thing. I don't know what the hell you people do. But they buy their dress, they get married in it, and then they put it in the closet to see, like, a decade later whether they can fit into it or not. And they usually can't, because you had a baby or two, and, you know, that does things to you. I haven't had babies personally, but I've seen what it does to people. She buys the dress. The wedding dress is a big deal. A big deal. Groom's tuxedo? No, not at all. Grooms don't buy their tuxedos and keep it in the closet to see if they can fit in it later on. They rent them. They're like bowling shoes. Other men have worn your tuxedo. So you rent them. You rent the shoes, like in a bowling alley, And you rent the suit and the tie and the whole bit, and then a day or two after the wedding, you got to return it. Guys don't want that stuff hanging around. I mean, if there's memories of the wedding day, we'll look at pictures. But to keep the clothing from it, I don't know. And the women also want to keep a piece of the wedding cake 20 years later. Don't keep food for 20 years. You're not supposed to keep leftovers for more than 3 days. 20 years? If you happen to be married that long. What are you going to do with this cake? You can't eat it. You can't put it on display or anything. It just takes up room in your freezer for no reason whatsoever. And believe me, usually after 5 years, that piece of cake is in the garbage. And so's your wedding. But getting back to the sticky bun hair look, I mean, I'm just, ladies, I don't know if you should just walk around and ask people that you know well whether they think you look good in a bun or with your hair down. And they'll pretty much all say, with your hair down. You have hair. Let's show it. Let's not pile it up and put a pin in it. I think that's what most men would say. When you phrase the question to the men, you got to phrase it properly. You can't just say, do you like my hair in a bun? Because they're going to answer, oh, yeah, whatever you say. I'm not arguing with you. But if you give them a choice, then that's okay. Do you have my hair in a bun or my hair down? Your hair down. Okay, thank you. Do the choice. Do the multiple choice questions. Don't just pose something with no options involved whatsoever. Men aren't stupid. They don't answer questions like that anymore. How do you know if this guy's intelligent or this guy's stupid? Ask them that question. Do you like my hair in a bun? Smart guys will go, well, yeah, sure, whatever. There's the age-old question. I've talked about this on the show. When a woman says to a man, do I look fat in this dress? You have to say no. Because there's no multiple choice involved. The intelligent ones will say, you look wonderful, or how do you think you look in it? The stupid ones will say, yeah, you kind of do look fat in that because I'm an honest person. You're not an honest person. You're a stupid person. You're a person that didn't get it. You didn't get the memo. All right. I have an interesting guest coming up in just a few minutes. I love talking about food. I love eating it. Talking about it is almost just as good. And I love food that is not just, I don't like hamburgers and hot dogs and fried chicken. Fine, wonderful. I eat it, yes, here and there. Yeah, slab of meat, something like that. But what I really love is cultural food, food from other countries, tasting cuisines from around the world. That is so fascinating. And it's such a wonderful way to live. It is international. If you can cook, then stop cooking normal American stuff and start opening up your mind with the various sauces and ways of preparing that almost every country has. One country that you don't want to mirror their food is England, by the way. Their cuisine just sucks big time. But other than that, so today I'm going to speak to a very nice couple who happen to be celebrity chefs. And we're going to talk about pork. Yes, pork. Pork has gotten a bad rap over the decades and over the generations. But many cultures, pork is their mainstay, and the variations on pork are amazing. So we're going to talk to them. I'm looking forward to it because I love to talk about food. If I can't have food in front of me, then I love to talk about it, or I love to smell it. Did you ever go to a shopping mall, or you know, you're just driving around and you're in a parking lot and you get out of the car and this wonderful aroma, maybe it's coming from an Italian restaurant nearby. You're smelling that The garlic. I mean, I like to smell it, but I don't like to eat it. Garlic gives me acid reflux, which is not a fun thing. I mean, it's not horrible, but it's not fun either. Or Chinese food, man. I think they, you know, they do that on purpose. They just like waft the odors and smells into the parking lot. So you say to yourself, oh, I feel like Chinese food, but I don't know why. I love smelling food in the air. I think it's just the smell of a barbecue. I don't eat that shit, but the smell of it, very enticing, very enticing. Here's what I don't like about barbecues. Thank you for asking. I mean, it's very, very tasty. It could kill you because there's a lot of fat involved. But when you go to a barbecue, I mean, there's nothing green. They have a salad. Yeah, right. Drowned in salad dressing and all these kind of accoutrements that have calories up your butt. Nothing green. There's nothing green going on. You know, no, there isn't. There's just all kinds of meats grilled. Everything's grilled. Ron, they have grilled vegetables. No, not real barbecues. They don't care about that. The vegetables are not a part of the deal. It's the meat. It's the meat. Slow cooked for 17 years. Okay, we're going to talk pork. But before we do that, we can talk food if you're really into that.
First, they put jalapenos on your hamburger, but that wasn't hot enough. Then came habaneros, but still, that wasn't hot enough. Next came the ghost pepper, and still, that was not hot enough for you. Well, buckle up, tough guy, because Burger Guy thinks you're not man enough to handle the heat of our new sweet flaming mother of heaven. What the fuck did you assholes do to my hamburger burger? Featuring two of Burger Guy's signature paper-thin patties topped with an experimental hot sauce made from a concentrated hot pepper extract that has only been approved for military use by North Korea. This burger will burn a hole through every inch of your intestines and then slap your mama on its way out for good measure. This burger is so hot they wouldn't let us test it on prisoners. Death row prisoners. But for a limited time, you can try your luck at your local Burger Guy if you're not a complete pussy.
All purchases of the sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the fuck did you assholes do to my hamburger burger, must be pre-approved by a certified attorney at law with proper notification of next of kin. Sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the fuck did you assholes do to my hamburger burger, must not be consumed within 500 yards of schools or within 1,000 yards of open flame. All Burger Guy franchisees reserve the right to ignore cries for mercy or requests for immediate medical attention.
Hi, Ron.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, I'm wonderful, thank you. Jorge is here. He's a TV personality, Jorge Bernal, and Carla Birnbacher is here. She's a celebrity stylist. Thanks for being with us today.
My pleasure. Our pleasure, Ron. Thanks for talking to us.
Everybody's pleasure. Is that?
There you go.
we're talking about one of my favorite things to consume, and that's pork. It's an amazing thing. And we're also celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month. And how are the two tied together?
Oh, my goodness, in so many ways, because pork is such an important part of our culture, both of ours. Mm. And, you know, what better way to celebrate this month than with one of the proteins that we love the most?
Yes, it's true. And it's actually lower in fat than the others, actually, as far as I know.
Ron, if a little info here.
Yeah.
Today's pork is actually 16% leaner and 27% lower in saturated fat compared to pork.
Yes.
30 years ago. So yes, pork is way more nutritious than it was before, and more delicious. And yes, could be added to any plate. We have the misconception that pork is or has to be an entree. It does not have to be an entree. Pork is a great addition to any plate. It'll spice it up. It'll make it better. And it'll give it that, you know, that extra, you know, zing that we sometimes crave, especially on salads. My wife
No, I love salads.
I'm not a salad fan,
he makes
but I am a
me.
Pork fan. So he adds extra pork to my salad.
All right, so you got it both going. I'll tell you a quick little story as far as Italian food is concerned. I used to, people have chicken parmesan and veal parmesan. A thin sliced pork parmesan is incredible.
Oh, Jesus.
Yum. Yeah. Actually, that's one of my favorites. That sounds delicious.
Yeah. Okay, now you're going to make me hungry by telling me some some things that pork can be used in that we may not think about.
Yeah, well, one of my favorite, like I said, I'm a fan of salads, and it's always like a quick go-to recipe of mine. And one of my favorites is the honey citrus vinaigrette kale salad.
Ooh.
And I add pork tenderloin to it, but I make it like on the grill with a mustard glaze.
Oh.
And it's so good. It's delicious. It has so much flavor. And you can add like fruit to the salad, fresh apples, strawberries, blueberries, and also queso fresco. I don't know if you've had it, but it's actually something super Latin, but it tastes delicious.
Ron sounds like a queso fresco fan.
So, yeah, the combination of all those flavors are delicious, and I actually get my husband to eat it that way.
Wow. You know, when you talk about food like that, it almost sounds pornographic.
I mean, it's orgasmic because you know what?
Yeah.
Look, my wife, like I said, I'm not a huge salad fan, but with the addition of pork, it just makes everything better, and it makes you know, it makes the salad very palatable for me. But she adds like fresh fruit on there, which is something that a lot of people use on their salads. But it just the sweetness of the fresh berries. And the apples and stuff that she adds to the salad, combined with the saltiness of the pork, it just takes it to another level that makes it, like I said, it's just something that I consume.
He's a sweets guy, and if I add fruit to anything, he'll eat
it. Yeah, well, you mentioned honey. I mean, that's like, those marry really, really well.
Yes.
Ooh. Okay, let's talk about, when I was growing up, I was told to stay away from pork because there's all kinds, if you don't treat pork properly and you get it on your hands or something, you can get, you need a tetanus shot. I mean, it was, there were like rumors flying that it was such a dangerous meat, but that's not true.
No.
It's not true at all. Pork needs to be cooked, you know, obviously it needs to be cooked well. I think it's 140 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
But pork is like I said, pork tenderloin, to be specific, is that specific cut is the most nutritious cut of pork.
Yes.
It has the lowest amount of fat, saturated fat. And by the way, it's heart check certified by the American Heart Association.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, there's plenty of misconceptions out there regarding pork. But the fact is that pork is very nutritious. So
that's why also we're here, so we can educate, you know, people that probably have those misconceptions and give them also ideas of how they can make it. For me, the most important thing is, you know, making recipes that are quick and easy because I'm busy and I don't like to be in the kitchen for hours and hours. So that's the idea to find recipes that are quick, easy, and nutritious and delicious.
Actually, pork is one of the more affordable meats as well. Steak is like, you know, you have to second mortgage your house to get a good steak.
And, especially nowadays.
Yes.
Yes.
And chicken has gone up quite a bit, but pork is a very reasonable, economical protein.
Yes. 100%.
Cool.
And let me tell you something. Pork is so versatile that, let's say, you do make, pork ribs one day and you have some leftover, or you make some pork tenderloin and you have some leftover, go ahead, put that in the fridge, and then the following day, you could have those leftovers by adding, boneless pork, which is pork. You could add pork to any dish, not only salads, but you could add pork to a pasta. You could add pork to a taco that you're making the following day. Whatever it is, you add pork, and it just, like I said, it makes whatever you're eating at that moment, it just takes it up to like an...
The nutritional value and the protein
and
intake.
The flavor as well.
Yeah, I'll tell you something I did recently. I took a pork tenderloin, and I ground the pork down to like hamburger meat, but it was tenderloin. And then I sauteed that with vegetables. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yum.
You know what you're talking about, Ron.
Ron, we need to cook together.
We need to get together, Ron.
I'll tell you, man. Well, yeah, that would be good. Okay, now, where do we go for more information? I think I know what people are going to be having for dinner tonight as a result of our talk. Where can we go for some more ideas?
All right, so if you speak Spanish and if you want to read more about what pork is capable of in your kitchen, in your place, in your food, go to porkessabor.com. Basically, pork is flavor, but it's porkessabor.com. Okay. But they also have a great Instagram page as well.
Which is at porkessabor, so it's easy. The website is porkessabor.com. The Instagram is at porkessabor. And it's he mentioned if you speak Spanish, but no, they also have English on both. But the wording is in Spanish is what he means.
Right.
But it's good because especially on the Instagram, you'll see recipes that I'm going to be doing, other content creators, and you get ideas of what you can make at home.
Wonderful.
The best way to search for all this good stuff is with the hashtag.
Oh, another way, yeah.
The hashtag. Ponle pork. It would just, you know, it would just go ahead and give you all the different recipes and all the information regarding this great stuff that we're doing here.
Great. You see how good food brings people together?
I hear you, brother.
That's what
I love food.
Yeah. Hey, it's been fun talking to you. Continued
likewise,
success.
Thank you, Ron.
And hopefully we'll talk again someday.
Yes, appreciate your time.
We should have lunch one day, Ron.
Yes, we
should.
But
in Boston, right? You're in Boston?
Yeah, you come to me.
I haven't been there in years.
Well, then you come up here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day, Ron.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. But until that time arrives, I wish you peace.